promised we would start the podcast with it this week, so good news and bad news for you, Ray Brewer. I'm Case Kiefer here on Prep Sports Now. From a fan's perspective, your Chaparral Cowboys come through, prove me wrong, beat Virgin Valley. But from a friendly wager standpoint, they win by two. You had minus three, so a little bit of some interesting result there. One of the things that stands out from week nine as we head into week 10, it's a three-way tie on top of that league in the Class 3A between Virgin Valley, Moapa Valley, and Chaparral. It will get sorted out this week when Del Sol plays Virgin Valley. If Virgin wins, they're the one seed. If they lose, it's going to be Moapa because they will have the tiebreaker over Chaparral. Just one of many things that will get sorted out in week 10 as we head into the playoffs. Again, this is Prep Sports Now. What other interesting games are standing out to you beyond that one?
You know, I think probably the game that's going to be the closest of the week, GV at Foothill.
Another friendly wager implications. I believe I have like plus 14.5 with Foothill.
Do you have that much?
You guaranteed they would win by at least two touchdowns.
Well, I think this game is going to be a little closer than I thought. Green Valley is 8-1. Foothill is 8-1. Green Valley, we've noted its ability to play at a fast pace, move the ball this year. Foothill, we've noted its ability to stop people. We've also probably underrated the Foothill offense a little bit with the rigging kid at quarterback, and we probably have underrated the Green Valley defense at times. And I watched Green Valley shut out Basic in the second half of Henderson Bowl, and we saw Green Valley not give up any points defensively to Coronado last week. They gave up an offensive touchdown. So
we've certainly underrated Green Valley's cartwheel ability. You showed me the video shortly before we came in here. You can check it out on Twitter if you search. I think it's like GVHS
football underscore HC for Castro's Twitter.
A 2-point conversion where one of their kids did a bunch of cartwheels, I guess, to try to be a distraction so they could throw the touchdown. It worked in that it was a 2-point conversion or a touchdown.
I thought it was a conversion, but either way, they scored or they got the ball.
They scored, but it didn't really seem like it distracted anyone. The only person that was paying attention was the Coronado defender that was covering him. But the cartwheels were totally on form.
What I liked was the reaction on the sideline from all the teammates. That's the thing with trick plays. Like, either A, they could be, you know, the deal with trick plays is either A, you run them because you have no chance to win. So you run a trick play if you're Sierra Vista playing Gorman this week, right? Or B, you put those in to keep your kids engaged when you have a chance to do something really special. And that's where Green Valley falls this year. They're, you know, 8-1. They're playing for the number 2 seed, which is huge. We suspect they'll end up playing Liberty again for the Sunrise Championship. And now we're adding wrinkles to the playbook to make it fun for the kids and keep kids engaged. And that's Green Valley's version of the trick play, not the gimmick was the word I was looking for earlier, that you got to run a bunch of gimmicky plays to beat a team you're not expected to play against.
Yeah, it's just fine. Like, I give them credit. The play worked. They scored. But I think as a trick play, it did not work. It didn't distract them at all.
The trick part of the trick play.
The play worked. The trick didn't work, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But good win for Green Valley and just crushing Coronado. So, like you said, they will come down. The 2 seed in the Southeast, which we've been talking about all year, does come down to this game, Green Valley at Foothill. And I actually would slightly disagree that maybe we've underrated or overrated parts of this. I've seen both these teams multiple times, and to me, I think you hit on it. I just think there's no doubt in my mind Green Valley has the better offense. There's no doubt in my mind Foothill has the better defense. How that plays out, I don't know. I think these teams are so evenly matched, you could see it going either way, but that's just kind of how I see it. I mean, yeah. Foothill, last week I was at that game against Basic. Final score was, now I don't have it in front of me, struggling to find it. Anyway, Basic ended up only losing by a touchdown. The score was 29-21, but really 21 points is kind of misleading. Basic got hot a little bit at the end of the game when Foothill was doing some prevent stuff and kind of didn't put as much resistance they did the rest of the game. Foothill's defense was still extremely impressive. It's going to be a different thing to see them against Green Valley, I guess, but I'm still impressed by the Foothill defense, and we'll have to see how they hold up against Barilla and this Green Valley offense.
So let me add a little question to our equation, right? So we've kind of found out in the Sunrise that Liberty's the team to beat. They've won six or seven in a row. I've lost track. It's so much, right? And we assume that Green Valley is right behind.
You assume. Never was I on that bandwagon.
Oh, I didn't realize that we weren't
got in a huge argument about this. Oh. This is what started the whole talk about this game weeks ago. You said that Green Valley is going to beat everyone else by at least 14 points, including Foothill. And I said that was crazy. They might lose to Basic or Foothill. Right. I ended up picking them to beat Basic. But, I mean, they lost to Basic 2 years in a row. I don't see how. I mean, they hadn't been the second place team. They didn't even make the playoffs last year.
But you have Green Valley beating Foothill
this
week.
No. Not to ruin the picks. No, I'm taking Foothill.
Oh, my God. Case, you got it. Let me take you to. I can take you to the river. I can't force you to drink any water.
How are we?
I wasn't bringing up Foothill as my other team.
I don't like sounding like negative against a pro or whatever. I think they do a great job at Green Valley. I really like what they're doing. But how do we just all of a sudden say they're the team right behind Liberty? They didn't even make the playoffs last year.
They were battled and beaten with injuries last year.
Okay, you could use that as an excuse for
a
lot of teams.
The quarterback this year, who's been the difference, right?
Okay, what about 2 years ago they weren't the two seed? How are all of a sudden they're the number two? How many years has it been since they're the number two? 2013? Well, half these kids weren't even in high school. Now they're so clear and above everyone else on the Sunrise.
Well,
that's news to me.
Basic has been the two. They've been in the championship game the last two
years.
Okay,
so how do we make the leap that now Green Valley is just right behind Liberty?
Okay, well, what about, where does Canyon play into this?
They're right in the middle, too. They've already beaten Basic.
Are they better than Green Valley?
I think it'd be a good game.
Are they better than Foothill? Who apparently,
I think it'd be a good game.
Okay.
I think all three of those are about even right now. I haven't seen Canyon Springs, but my hunch is, I mean, Foothill and Green, this is going to be a great game. I think that it's very, very close. I think you could pick either side. I will not be surprised if Green Valley wins. I personally think Foothill defensively will be able to slow them enough, and it seems like their offense is coming together, that I think Foothill is going to win.
Mm-hmm. Because if we look at common opponent, for whatever that's worth, Canyon crushed Basic, right?
I don't even remember the final score, just given the circumstances.
Canyon, I thought, had their way physically with Basic, mm-hmm. right? And Green Valley, with the exception of 2 minutes to close the first half, kind of had their way with Basic. And Foothill kind of had their way with Basic.
Yeah, with the exception of about 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the game. So, I think that there's a lot of evidence that any of those three teams could beat each other on a given day.
And then all of them would lose to Liberty.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's no – I really hate that I sound so anti-Green Valley all year. I just don't think there's a clear two. I just definitely disagree with that. Okay. I am not – booking my tickets to Green Valley Liberty for the Sunrise Championship.
There's a clear one, though, right?
Oh, I mean, no doubt. I mean, Liberty, I think the gap this year might be bigger than it's even been in the last few years. I mean, there's no way they're losing. There's no way, in my opinion, they lose.
Who's been – let me quickly shift gears here. Who's Liberty's been – like, if you had to give – if you were Morocco, right, and you're giving out team MVP award, who do you give the MVP to?
You give an offensive one and a defensive one.
You have to give both?
Yeah, I think so. Don't most teams do that?
I think they do, like, MVP of the team, offensive, and then defensive to get more kids involved.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, I'm assuming because you're I'm assuming with the way you're saying this is you have an opinion on it.
No, I have an answer to the question. Not an opinion.
I think it is an opinion, but
ahead. It's not an opinion. It's all a right factual answer, and when I'm wrong, if they think I'm wrong, which I'm not, they'll call and let us know. But the best player for me, well, I don't know. Now I'm going to contradict myself. Because obviously Oblad's been your Cadillac, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's shined, he's polished, he set the state passing record, he's a four-year guy. Lappin, who's been a beast on both sides of the ball, right?
Right.
Had all the sacks last week. His one glaring mistake is what, Case? Not that this answers my question, but he's got one glaring huge mistake.
I have no idea. The game I was at, too, is when they were so beat up at running back, and he scored two touchdowns, I think, the first two times he touched the ball.
It's a bad joke. Bad joke for me.
Okay.
Did you see where he's committed to go to college?
I think I know now. Okay, he's at Reno.
Yeah, Reno. No, congrats to him. Free education. Love the kid. He's great. To me, the best player on Liberty has been the freshman kid, whose name I can't say. Cyrus Fiusawi.
I mean, love the kid. He's done a good job.
Dude.
But do not tell me he's the MVP of Liberty.
Bro, look at the stats. He's had like three defensive touchdowns, right, for the season, including in a big game. Now they put him on offense. He's averaging 6 yards a carry.
6 yards a carry? That's your team MVP? I guarantee you Oblad is throwing for probably 9 yards of an attempt.
Well, yeah, but
with like 20-some touchdowns.
He's not their guy, though. He's not their best play. He's not their go-to guy on offense. He's doing everything.
Yeah, you're not selling this MVP case for me. You've got like all these record-setting players who, I mean, Lappin. If you want to, I thought
most
you were going to make the case for Lappin.
Player.
Yeah, most valuable player. Didn't this kid miss a game or two, and they were fine without him too? Are they going to kill everyone still if Oblad misses a game or two?
Well, Oblad, you got to have him.
And most valuable player is kind of like a tough thing in football because almost always it's going to be your quarterback.
Okay.
If
he's got 15 tackles. I don't know.
But
maybe
I thought
15
tackles and 6 yards per carry is just not selling me. The kid's great. He's going to help.
Two touchdowns all over the field.
He's going to help Liberty kind of continue their success.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, a great freshman year, but you're looking at Lappin, I think, has a couple touchdowns, too, on defense. Saved them when they lost, like, three running backs. Set the school sacks record. You can make the case for me for Lappin, but I don't know about the freshman, even though going forward.
Say his last name, because you're smarter than me.
Fiesu, I would guess. I would guess. I have no idea.
He's going to be a finalist for the Rising Star Award at the Sun Standout Awards.
Oh, yeah, great. I'm not taking anything away from him either. I just think probably team MVP is not getting any votes.
Okay, let's shift gears. Other side of town, a few things stand out for me. A, here comes Paolo. Exact same scenario as last year, right?
It is, yeah.
They look dead in the water. Then all of a sudden they get back to it. They beat up Shadow last week. The Thomas kid is like Walter Payton, right?
According to Jesse Granger, who's at the game.
Yeah, hot take Granger.
I know the kid. I know that Thomas is great. I wasn't taking that away. I just know Granger came away glowing about his performance.
Glowing. And now all of a sudden, Paolo is on a roll. They're going to get into the playoffs as the four. They play Centennial this week, who hasn't won a game, by the way, and Oski. And then we get Paolo Gorman again, and we know the outcome of that. But the Thomas kid, I think, has been arguably the best running back in town. Arguably. I'd be hard-pressed to find another running back who's better, actually.
Yeah,
who's put up better numbers. Now, the Nellums kid prior is in the conversation. He did get ejected, though, so he won't play this week. And Shadow plays Legacy. Legacy's probably going to beat them as Shadow's done.
Yeah, the Nellums kid would definitely be in the conversation, but like you said, got tossed out of the game. I think that you'd have to put another injury. Is Tawi Walker injured right now? He would be in the conversation
sure. He's been banged all year. Yeah,
I mean, 10 yards.
Walker,
he's averaging 10 yards per carry. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I love, you know, I've been telling you about the Walker kid since he was like in the eighth grade. And for as good as he's been offensively, he's a better DB. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, and I hate to say this. I really do, because it's not me, CK. You know what I'm saying? But at what part do you say, okay, Tywee's been eaten against, you know, Tywee and Jaden Perkins and Tariq Flowers.
Oh, yeah, we should have mentioned those
right?
guys, too.
And Tywee Walker. They're all 1,000-yard guys, but you got to put the asterisk. They've been getting their 1,000 yards against whom? You know?
You can only, I mean, it's a cliche, but you can only play who's on the schedule. You can't hold that against the kids.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Because I tell you who I really like and who would have those numbers if he was at that level is the TK Fotu kid from Durango.
Yeah.
I think TK Fotu is one of the better guys in town. And shoot, Aubrey Washington from Legacy's been eaten too, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of choices. I do think one thing that stands out about Shamir Thomas is just we know what Palo Verde's offense is like. He's obviously carrying a huge load on it. So I think workload-wise, that works in his favor, too.
Yeah, and he's been – listen, he probably leads the world in touchdowns. I don't have everybody's numbers in front of us, but he's single –
he does. He leads the area with 15 touchdowns.
He single-handedly has flipped that season around for the Panthers.
Yeah, certainly I think that he – you can make a strong case he's been the best running back in town. Just there are I think, a lot more kids that deserve to be in the discussion, but he might be the leader.
Okay, so now we go Bishop Gorman, right? Haven't given up a point since the first half, September 16th, against De La Salle. They're playing Sierra Vista, who's also undefeated in Southwest League. John Foss.
Sierra Vista leading the Southwest League, as far as I'm concerned. Because they're both undefeated, but Sierra Vista has a better overall record.
Okay, yes.
Going into this week.
So, they play Gorman. Gorman going for an undefeated league record yet again, this time without giving up any points. That's tough to do, right? I mean, say you got your third-string kid in, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have such depth, though.
Your third-string Jimmys and Joes, like kids who are just on the team to be on the team, they got – you're right. It's the end of the game. The clock is running down, and they're trying to sub in, you know, number 92, 5'8", defensive lineman, and he's keeping the undefeated streak going. That's pretty impressive. That's what I hate about the running clock. I mean, as somebody who's at work, I love the running clock because it gets us home. And I hate when blowouts become even more blowouty. But I hate how you got a roster of like 60 kids and you're trying to get them a play. Like one play. You know what I'm saying? Because some of these teams like Arbor and Gorman, or maybe not Arbor as much this year, but in years past, or Liberty and Gorman, right? Dude, they're up by 42 or whatever the running clock is in the first half.
Well, I mean, that's an easy fix, then. You just got to be more liberal with getting kids in earlier.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be a problem, honestly.
Yeah, but then when do you start getting ready for the playoffs, right?
You almost made me choke there. You're not getting ready for the playoffs when it's 42-0. I don't care.
Well, I know,
if it's
but
you got to
get your stamina up for the whole game.
You could do that in practice.
Yeah, but there's difference between practice when you're tackling one of your guys versus live action.
You can make you can do conditioning and stamina in practice.
All
trust
right.
me.
All right, I'm talking case. I haven't played, but possibly.
You've played sports.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot longer. I mean, I'm 42
The game speed is not the same when you're up 42-0.
And I played at a high school where, I mean, we had, like, our varsity team had 16 guys who would have been all-world at every other team except for me. I mean, our practices were pretty competitive. And there wasn't any hitting. You know what I'm saying? We weren't going to tackle each other.
I mean, just the stamina thing, if you're trying to build stamina in a game, I don't think there's any coach that's doing that.
Okay.
You're trying to build stamina and conditioning.
Okay.
Is.
Hey, by the way, I took a little heat last week for my my Paul Myra love.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You couldn't take much heat last week. You went undefeated in the picks. I can't believe it took us this long to get to. So.
Picking every game, undefeated, telling you what's going to happen. Pegging the Cowboys at Chaparral, who didn't have my guy, Collins, Tyre Collins, little ankle.
Oh, yeah, he's hurt.
Didn't play. Still able to get the home dub.
Okay, so what was the what grief did you take for
that
Myra?
He's not the best slinger in the city, that there's many other who look at the numbers, Brewer, which I did. And
Myra
leads the world in interceptions.
In your defense, and maybe I'm wrong, I think what you were saying is just plainly throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And he throws it. He throws it. I mean, I thought in some of the games I've seen them, I think he throws it almost too good. He throws it so hard that, these kids aren't accustomed to catching it. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I said at the time, he's definitely – I don't think what you were saying was he's the best quarterback in town. I think you're saying he throws the prettiest ball. And he might,
spins it.
He's in the conversation with that, I think.
Yeah. Cannon. He's got a cannon.
Yeah,
he's got a cannon. Okay, you want to do the picks? Have we forgotten anybody? Faith closed out 5-1. Bye. I love that bye right before the playoffs.
I don't
right?
have to play. So what? The big game? Yeah, we touched on
big game is GV Foothill.
Oh, we didn't. Legacy. I think we might have left that game out. Doesn't Legacy kind of have to confirm their spot
in
the three?
Yeah, Legacy's got to play Nelumless Shadow.
Okay.
Right?
That's to lock up the three.
The three and a trip to Vista for a rematch of last year. I think the playoff seeds with Arbor, Faith, Legacy, Palo are going to be the same as last year, right?
Correct.
And then in the other part of town, Gorman, Vista, just like last year. Spring Valley is in the equation, just like last year, right?
Did Spring Valley make it last year? I'm struggling to remember.
I can't remember. Okay. And then Durango for Bonanza, because Bonanza made it last year and Durango made it this year.
Well, there you go. So pretty similar. I guess we'll start with that game. So I think we inadvertently left it off. Legacy and Shadow Ridge.
I didn't include that in the picks.
No, I think that's how we glanced over it. All good, though. We'll get it now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Legacy is found its niche in the running game, right, with Washington. They're big. They're physical. They're going to win a playoff game this year, and they're going to beat Shadow, and they're going to beat him pretty good.
Yeah, I think Shadow, as we've said all year, I really do think Nelums was kind of who they went behind. Without him in this game, this is a tough uphill task. I got to say, Legacy gets in the playoffs another year, and they're not going to be that'll be an interesting game next week with Sierra Vista, right? If that's indeed how it shakes out.
Yeah, I haven't had a good sense on Sierra Vista all year. I might go check them out against Gorman. And we'll see. But, yeah, it was a good game last year. It could be a good game this year.
All right, so we've both got Legacy, and then we'll get into that game, Sierra Vista at Gorman.
I mean, Gorman, with the exception of a few quarters the last 8 years, 9 years now, right? Sanchez brothers 9 years running. They haven't really, you know, Legacy had a lead on them, whatever, Tony's last year. Paolo had a lead on him Tony's first year before halftime. Arbor has had some mixed-in success. Liberty, when they played at Rancho the day of the UNLV North Carolina win at the Orleans Arena, Liberty, I think, only trailed by one midway through the third quarter and then smash them. So,
I think you're forgetting one other one that I can remember just because I was at the game. I think Tony's first year, Cimarron played him really close.
Okay. Yeah, Tony's first year, there were some close games, and here we are.
Yep, and I do not think this is going to be a close one, even though I'm high on Sierra Vista. I think that might be the playoff game of the week next week if they take on Legacy. I don't see them doing much against Gorman.
Yeah, and, I mean, you take that Southwest League, and I know we're in pick mode, but just real fast. The Southwest League, you could easily transfer into the Sunset 3A and it'd basically be the same thing. Minus Gorman, of course. Go ahead.
Yep, so Gorman for both of us. I guess next game, Valley at Las Vegas.
Forgot to talk about the bone game. Vegas won 22nd in a row. Elijah Hicks went off. Rancho's got a good quarterback, though. Kid's decent. Fumbled a few times.
Underclassman or senior?
No clue.
Okay.
Don't even know his name. Bad prep. Valley has won three in a row, got four dubs on the season. They've beat Eldo, Rancho, and Boulder, not exactly a murderer's row. But considering where they were, not winning a game in 15 or 14, that's a step in the right direction, even though they won a game last year. But
it's the same teams Vegas has beaten, too.
Teams Vegas has beaten. I mean, just the history Vegas versus the history Valley, you would sense that Vegas would win bigger, even though Valley, when Vegas was good, snake bit them a few times, at least one that I could remember. Valley's got a ton of momentum. This game's for a home playoff game. I think it's closer than you think, but not that close. Vegas wins big, but not running clock big.
I wouldn't expect this to be running clock. Maybe I'm just a little too down on Vegas. But I think Vegas wins, but I would say, you know, two or three touchdowns. I think Valley can hang with them for a little bit. Their confidence is up. like I said, they've beaten the same teams Vegas has. There's not really a lot differentiating these teams' two resumes. If you didn't look at the names, if you just looked at what they've done, it's about the same. I'm going with Vegas as well. Basic at Liberty. Don't see this being very close.
I don't either. I think Liberty's just, you know, revving its engine, ready for another playoff run. They roll. Roll, Pats, roll.
Right. Liberty, big. We've already spoiled this one, unfortunately. But Foothill at Green Valley at Foothill. Clearly, you've come around a little bit because, like you said, it's not two touchdowns anymore. And you're saying I'm crazy for picking Foothill, yet you only have them losing by 3 points.
Yeah, you know, mad props to that Foothill defense. They really really put the helmets on and hit, and I think they're going to be able to slow Green Valley down for sure. I expect there to be a lot of people at this game. I expect it to come down to which team makes the least amount of mistakes. I just think Green Valley has got a little more in terms of the guys that could get some plays done. As I say this, I know that Foothill put on the board that Brewer says that Green Valley's got more athletes, more Jimmies and Joes. But they do. Green Valley's got more guys that could get up and go, and I like guys that could get up and go. And I hope both teams have their bands there because it's the two best bands in town, right?
Yeah,
Foothill has
so.
Literally.
We got in an argument about this one here.
Yeah, Foothill's got 400 people in the band and 800 more cheerleaders. And it'll be packed on their side because everybody brings a dad to hear him play or watch him tumble.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think Green Valley does the cartwheel 2-point conversion?
Maybe they have something else up their sleeve.
I think what it is they did the cartwheel 2-point conversion. So now Redmond saw it. So they start doing it. They'll be like, cartwheel, cartwheel, nobody watch. And everybody will watch and they'll throw it the other way. Touchdown.
Yeah, maybe.
You show that against Coronado to set up something else the next week.
We'll see. It's certainly possible. I think, you know, we've done this time and time again. I hate your athlete argument. I think it's short-sighted, and you stick with the same teams having athletes every single year. I do not think Foothill's at an athletic disadvantage, but I think you make a good point that I agree with you, and then I think they do have more playmakers offensively. I think they have more guys that are proven that can at the skill positions. I think that's Foothill's uphill battle here, but again, I've been impressed by Foothill's defense. I think this is a pretty even game. Foothill at home, I'm going to lean with them. You have Green Valley by 3. I'll say Foothill by 3. I think this is the game of the week, without a doubt.
Okay, I totally agree.
Quite possibly the only game we disagree on, I would think.
You'd be smart to agree with me because I went undefeated last week.
That's true, but I think that may as well have clinched, for all intents and purposes, clinched your first victory in 3 years.
The ship is coming home, baby!
I definitely think I had won 2 years running, but that's okay. I had a little bit of a down year. I'm 6 back, and I don't even know if there's 6 games we'll disagree on the rest of the year.
Yeah, I've already called Jostens to get the ring sent. So,
all right, well, maybe one here. I actually have no idea who I'm picking here. Silverado at Coronado. Talk me through this one.
So it's the 5th and 6th place teams in the Southeast. We'll find out who's 5 and who's 6 right now. Silverado kind of in a rebuild with Andy Ostolaza back as head coach, trying to get numbers up in the program, and Coronado closing out the season. One team's going to get the dub and one team's not, and I'm going with Coronado because I think they're going to be able to run the ball with their size up front.
This is a tough one. Coronado only lost 24-7 to Green Valley last week. I don't know if I said that earlier. I thought it was a little bit more lopsided than that for some reason. You used the common opponents earlier, and if you look at the common opponents here, it looks like Coronado has almost every game kept it closer than Silverado. I guess maybe the possible exception of Foothill. Foothill beat Coronado 38-0. Silverado 40-18, so that one was closer. I've seen Coronado, and to use a Brewer term, it seems like they do have some guy. They might have a Jimmy or a Joe. I don't know about Silverado. I haven't seen him. It's tough. I'd love to disagree with you here, but I think I'm going to lean Coronado, just barely.
All right.
Close game. I think this will be one of the better games of the week from
That's what I appreciate about you, Case. You're not going to go chasing.
Sometimes. We'll see. Let's get through the thing before we agree to that. Pahrump at Mojave. Maybe I would chase here if it was at Pahrump, as you taught me.
If it was at Pahrump, we would both be chasing. But it's at Motown.
Yeah,
Motown's got the best athlete on the field, best player on the field, and they're going to get the dub.
We just sung the praises of Tawee Walker, so yeah, I'm going with Mojave too. Another chasing opportunity, Del Sol at Virgin Valley.
Virgin. Traffic, Bubba. If Virgin was going to Del Sol, you might convince me that Del Sol has a chance, just as it hung with Moapa last week for a narrow defeat. But the game's in Mesquite. Traffic. Buck and a half on the road in a school bus. I got the Bulldogs.
Remember when I just basically conceded the championship to you for being six games ahead? I literally think it's almost entirely because of Virgin Valley. I think I've missed four of their games this year. They lose when I pick them to win. They win when I pick them to lose. So what's taking one more risk? I think I'm going to go with the Del Sol Dragons. Tariq Flowers, why not? I think this could be a close game. Virgin Valley, definitely the favorite. You're on the right side, but upsets happen.
I'm giving you their phoner, and Lovinson is going to rip into you. Go ahead.
Hey, like I said, they haven't come through for me. I loved them last week. I was all over them. Beginning of the year, I was all over them. They've lost all those games. So this week, I'm sure they'll come out and prove me wrong, but I'm going to go with Del Sol and the upset. Del Sol almost beat Moapa last week. Looks like they've gotten better as the season's gone on. Desert Pines at Western. I don't think we'll be disagreeing on this one.
No. DP, could you believe?
You did pick Western second in the league.
That was like, when you're talking about games that I, or teams that I totally missed the boat on, that would be, yeah, that would be one.
All right, I'm going with DP, as are you. Desert Oasis at Bonanza. Bonanza beats Clark in overtime last week. Sounds like it was a real thriller. And Desert Oasis maybe took some strides. They hung right with Spring Valley in a defensive battle, nearly knocked off Spring Valley. Any promise to Desert Oasis pulling an upset and getting on the win column?
I'm going to go with what I know, and I know that Bonanza's slightly better, but I think Bonanza, Clark, DO, three teams that are probably in the, you know, similar scenarios. So Bonanza closes out the season, back-to-back dubs.
Yeah, it was a head-turner for me. I mean, I thought Spring Valley would take care of Desert Oasis a little bit more, so maybe Desert Oasis has improved, but I got to draw the line somewhere. I'm not chasing with this one. I'm going with Bonanza as well. Palo Verde at Centennial.
PV Nation, Thomas, best player on the field. I go with the athletes, Jimmies and Joes. Centennial, got to take a step back to take a step forward. I like their younger players. For the good of the program, they kept some of those guys on the Jays and the freshman team. I think they're going to be better sooner. I think they'll be back in the conversation, just not this year.
Yeah, Palo Verde's come this far. Now they just need one more win to clinch that playoff spot. I do not see them folding to a rival. I think Centennial will go all out here. It'll be senior night, their last chance to play. I think it might be a little closer than you expect, but I just don't see Palo not showing up in this spot. I've got the Panthers. Maybe I have a chance after all, because I'm actually surprised where you line up on this game. Durango at Spring Valley.
Yeah, I just I kind of was surprised myself a little bit. The Ray you know and love, who just sung the praises of TK Fotu, would have picked Durango. But I'm going in a little – if you set a betting line on this game, Durango would be the favorite. Everybody who picks games in town will be picking the Trailblazers, but I'm going with the Grizz.
It'll be interesting. I wonder if everyone will pick them. I could see someone else going with you. I agree, though. I think that my inkling is that Spring Valley, I agree with you, is a little bit of an underdog, and I got to go with the favorite. You've been selling me on TK Fotu. I think he has a big game. I think Durango just has a little more on offense, maybe. Spring Valley's defense, though, maybe they hold them, but I'm going to go with the Trailblazers here, so we're different on that one.
Loser gets Arbor.
Correct. So you definitely there's some merit in winning this game, although you're still going to get faith,
hate
right?
How you kind of see the writing on the wall. I mean, for some of these teams, you know when your season's ending.
I know, but it's been that. I mean, it's been that way at least ever since I've been here.
Was
and
it
I'm
like
sure
that
ever before
when you
that.
Played ball?
Unfortunately, not, because my senior year we lost in the playoffs to a team we were never supposed to lose to. The team had a one-handed receiver who was like the best receiver I've ever seen, and he literally had one arm. Not one hand, one arm.
Did you guys just overlook him?
Like our whole entire team got beat. I mean, we had so many injuries. We were already like going into the game beat up because it was a short week. It was like this week where you play on Thursday and then I think like Tuesday or something ridiculous because it was the midterm parent-teacher conferences or whatever in the whole state. So we were extremely beat up. And it seemed like there were a lot more upsets, but I don't know. It's different when you're in the thick of things, I guess.
Yeah. Those Cowboys, Case, when I played, we never got upset, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just got we got robbed against Gorman one year for my only high school loss. The referee, who's I won't even mention his name.
You know his name?
Yeah, stole the championship right from us. And to this day, my high school coach, Randy Minigo, one of the great guys in this world, will tell you that the referee blew the offsides on us to get back at him because they disliked each other.
Wow. Maybe the last time you'll ever hear that is Chaparral had one stolen from them against Bishop Gorman.
Yeah. Lost in PKs.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be Durango. Brewer thinks it's going to be Spring Valley. Either way, the winner will play, as we said, Arborview, as long as they get past – well, I think no matter what, because they would have the tiebreaker, but they play Cimarron to finish off their regular season.
Yeah, I remember the days when Cimarron would just go to Arbor and give them a little taste, and now it's Arbor laying down the wood, a little punishment. Aggies, tune-up, getting ready for TK Foe 2.
You picked Spring Valley.
I did.
So they're getting ready. Oh, the loser.
Yeah.
All right. I think they're getting ready for Silo Stanton and Marquise Diggs.
All right.
We'll see. Our review for both of us on that one, though, Rancho at Canyon Springs. Your reports of a good Rancho quarterback don't sell me on their chances to beat Canyon Springs.
I mean, our only chance is that Canyon Springs, for you know,
forgets
puts
to
through.
Show up.
Let me try to find this. Now you got me all. Let me find this kid's name before the show.
I looked up. I found a kid that it said he threw for 0 yards against Vegas. I'm guessing it can't be that kid.
Running, though. Like the kid.
Oh, he's a running. Okay. Because I don't have the name now, but it said he was like 10 for 50 on the season. I was like, well, this can't be the quarterback you're talking about.
Maybe yeah, Jordan Gunther, I think, is the kid's name.
Okay. He's a good running quarterback?
Yeah, he's their only player, basically.
Gotcha. I should have looked at the rushing stats. I was just looking at passing.
Yeah, returns kickoffs. He's really elusive. He fumbled a few kickoffs. Listen, he's not like – I don't know.
Is he an underclassman?
I have no idea.
All right, well, we hope he's a sophomore or something so Rancho can maybe ride him the next couple years.
All I know is that if he is a senior let me make a wacky comment here. Let me just find. He is a senior. Jordan Gunther.
That's too bad.
He's – I don't even know what his height and weight is because I can't find any information.
Okay, what's the wacky comment? You've got us on the edge of our seats here.
Yeah, I would say that if I'm a college coach, I go try to get this kid on my team.
Wow, so he really impressed you.
Yeah, this kid could get at it. I just think that he would need some time in the weight room, but he'd – prefer walk-on D1. He could play. I think the kid could play like a Dixie State or an Adams State or a – I don't know about SUU or NAU. He'd have to work at it. But if you're getting kids – finding a way to get kids in, he could play. He's a Jimmy and a Joe.
All right, there you go. Well, a kid to watch in this game, Jordan Gunther, Rancho at Canyon Springs. That being said, neither of us are taking the Rams. We're going to go with Canyon Springs. Cheyenne – at Sunrise Mountain.
Yeah, so Sunrise needs a dub to secure a playoff spot. Cheyenne could kind of backdoor its way in. Either way, I think an opening game at Sunrise, at Virgin, or whomever isn't the end of the world. You got live action if you could get in the 3A. I like Sawyers and Company, CK.
Yeah, I like Sunrise here. You know I've been on them all year, and there's no way here in this final week of the regular season I'm going to pick Cheyenne, who I think has been a little disappointing. to beat them. Last game, I guess. This one's kind of interesting. If only it was at Boulder City, I think I would be going opposite of you. As it stands, I'm not sure. Boulder City at El Dorado. El Dorado still only clinging to that one win. Boulder's had some success this year up and down, but what do you think about this one?
I picked Eldo. I mean, either way, Boulder season ends because they're an independent this year, and Eldo advances to play at Liberty, so we kind of – the writing's on the wall for them. So this is kind of your last chance to grab a win. It's your last home game. I think the kids will be motivated with that narrative, and I think they get the dub.
Boulder City last week lost by 1 point to Valley.
Yeah, a game that sounded like there was 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter. Shout out, like I said earlier, to Valley getting the dub. But, again, there's a lot of teams in the same scenario. Valley, Rancho, Eldo, Boulder, Cheyenne, pick your favorite other teams. Clark, Bonanza, Dio. If you and I could be the commissioner of high school football case or realignment or the NIAA, forget about the 5A or the 4A or the regrouping and all this stuff, we'd find a way to make each season fun and competitive. We would.
Institute a fantasy draft? I think that's the only way you could do it. Everyone's available.
No,
because as it stands, there's 2 programs that are just going to be...
Well, yeah,
I don't think it's going to be competitive no matter what you
do. Okay, but Valley, for example.
Well, okay, so...
You play for Valley.
Yeah.
And we're 41 minutes into this show, but you play for Valley. You show up for the first day. What's your goal? What's the goal of every kid?
Make the playoffs?
Win a state championship. Everybody wants to win state.
But if you have goals, like... I don't think Valley, they're going to practice the first day and they're saying our goal is to win the state championship.
So when you break, are you on 3 take state or are you on 3 Vikes or whatever? I mean, because...
Vikes. There's no way. Maybe I'm wrong. I think that's crazy. You're telling me Valley, the first week of the practice, they're breaking on take state?
Isn't that the goal?
No, the goal is not take state for Valley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they got to... hopefully when they fix this and they get to the 5A thing... They say, okay, what's best for kids? Where could we make it to where a team like Valley or El Dorado could compete for a playoff spot? You know, Shap was blessed with the opportunity to go down a different league, and they're thriving, right? Games are meaningful. Kids care more about their school, care more about each other. El Dorado and Valley, basically the same team. They don't have that opportunity. Either way, we could talk for days about – all the things that are broken, but I got Eldo. That's all.
I'm gonna go Boulder City.
You're chasing.
Well, no, you look at the score. Like, we've been on this margin of victory thing all year, but if you look at like their common opponents, the scores are pretty similar.
Yeah.
I mean, El Dorado hasn't really done a whole lot that Boulder hasn't. Boulder, I know, has played some easier teams, and that's why they're 3-5 as opposed to El Dorado's 1-7. But I think El Dorado would only be a slight favorite in this game.
Coin flip. It's a coin flip.
All right, so I'm going to go Boulder City. Who knew we'd be so different on so many games this week?
That's fun.
I think that'll do it. We'll be back next week to talk some playoffs.
Playoffs?
Looking forward to it. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.